You are listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. Join him as he and his guests discover how businesses thrive in California.
So, welcome to The Pilgrim on the 405. We're going to have a great conversation today with entrepreneur from Phoenix, Arizona, Bruce Williams, a founder and the chief cheerleader for Halltail. So welcome, Bruce.
Thank you, Will.
So tell us a little bit about this whole idea of Halltail.
Well, Halltail was originated out of my parent corporation, which is the maker of demo bags, heavy-duty contractor bag. And it's sold throughout many different retail locations in the United States and international. And we had a number of reps out there in the field, and we started seeing some issues, and we tried to figure out how to mitigate it. So sister company came along called Halltail, which is an on-demand delivery service, and it also remediates the waste, from the standpoint of people using our main product. And we were able to create a little bit of a business niche to move more product throughout the stores to the end user, more as a service orientated through Halltail. So Halltail is basically a mobile app where you go on and you upload your information, very simply, your email address, telephone number, if you're a customer, and download the app. And then from there, if you're a driver, it's the same process, but obviously a little bit more nuances, like what kind of vehicle you have that you're going to be using and operating, and the requirements that are common.
So is this like a Uber for hauling?
Some people would call it that. We just don't try to use Uber or the other Lyft. Those move people. We don't move people. We move items, no food, hot meals, like their services, and no animals. Uh-huh. So under the umbrella, we do.
Uh-huh. So what kind of needs would a person have that they would call Halltail? I would imagine with the COVID constraints, that's been even more focused for you.
Yeah, so let's think of it outside of COVID, where it really began. I mean, if you were a homeowner and had something to pick up at a DIY store, you would have to go rent a vehicle or borrow someone's vehicle. Obviously, those are obstacles. From the standpoint of renting a vehicle, you go to a big box store, you go up to the counter, you put your credit card down, your license, you show them you have insurance, and you go out to the parking lot. First, you have to get there, and then go pick the item up, if it's from there or from another location, put it in the truck, drive it, drop it off, come back, bring the truck in, make sure you fill up the gas and pay it. And there's about an hour and a half's worth of time just in that simple, 5 or 10 mile loop, and quite a bit of time. Halltail was designed to match exactly those needs, except you do it in mobile app, you upload it, and the item is brought to you at the same cost within a few dollars. So it's really a convenience. It's using the infrastructure that's out there every day, where someone has a small car to a large truck, and it works anywhere from walking all the way through to trailer trucks. So it's pretty.
So let me ask you, here's a question. I assume that if I would buy something at Lowe's, I would have to buy it first, right?
You could buy it online.
Buy it online with Lowe's, and then I could engage one of your people to go to Lowe's, pick it up, and bring it to me.
Sure. So that works where they can take a picture of it, and it's OCR, so it will upload the image. Mm-hmm. Pick out those pieces of information, it creates a bill of lading more or less, or you can upload it electronically just like you do on your computer. You can use it from a computer or a iPad as well.
So now every Thursday I go out to Riverside with my wife to St. Michael's Episcopal Church, and then we go to Inland Harvest and pick up literally a ton of food in boxes, 22-pound boxes. They're on skids. And then we have to rent a truck to do that. And then we bring it back to the church, unload it, and give it out to 100 families every week. Is that something that Halltale could do?
Can. I mean, it's a paid service. Everything is dynamic. So it basically will do multiple loads with multiple stops, and it's based upon what items you're carrying, what the weight is, the size of the vehicle, and the time and distance.
Excellent. So that's very, as a very interesting, creative way to solve problems. So where did you come up with this idea?
Well, I mean, I came from a blue collar family, so, you know, it was trial and error. I did all those things, and time is money, and you only have so many hours in the day. How did you get everything done? As technology has come along, I look for different ways and to how to use technology. And from being in the retail stores and seeing, you know, the particular customer coming in, they're having a bad day and they want to buy some lawn furniture and get it to the house that day, and they can't get a delivery truck because they're all out and they don't understand why they can't get their delivery that day. I think most people's impression, when you think you buy it online, you automatically get it right there and then. The reality of it is it doesn't occur that way. Retailers have a base of contractors or certain customers that are, you know, have a higher profile of buying are going to get their items first. That's just common sense in any business. Most of the general public, though, is now moved to, I can get it now. And I think a lot of that comes out of the food apps that are out there. Everybody, you know, decides, oh, I can get food delivered right away. Why can't I get anything else? As we've seen in COVID now, delivery has become more apparent in everyday life. You just expect it. But we've seen that there's been problems with that as well. I mean, capacity is maxed out. Infrastructure is not there. And when we started, it was well before COVID, but we built in things where if you're not home and you need something delivered, you can have a release with the PIN code, or you could move it to your neighbor's house. We want to make sure it gets in someone's hands. Some of the items are much bigger, so we want to make sure we coordinate with the receiver that they're getting their items in the time scope.
So you had the idea. So step me through. Once you have the idea, you're sitting in Lowe's or Staples or any other store that has a large amount of things that people would want to have. You had the idea. Then what did you do?
Well, I formed a team like anybody, and you start your discovery process and you find out where your weaknesses are, and then, you know, the overall scope, and you start plugging away. It's a grind. It's not something that's just, you know, you can look up in a book and say, okay, how did Uber and Lyft do this? Simple. It's point A to B passengers. Mm-hmm. They have other drop-offs in between. Ours is much more complex because you're dealing with something from an envelope to a refrigerator. Mm-hmm. And our service operates within expedited 2 hours delivery from the time it goes in to a standard 4 hours delivery, although you can do it 7 days or 30 days out. So it really comes down to knowing your broad base of customers that are going to use it as far as retailer, and then what the expectations that the consumer is going to want, which is much tougher. Everybody has preconceived notions that, you know, you just snap your fingers and it's there. Doesn't work that way. You have to take into many different obstacles that come along with it.
So when were you doing this? What year?
I started it about 2 years ago. Okay. And then, you know, you start to get the writings down technical, and then your patent attorneys involved, and, you know, all your terms and conditions, and everything is daily evolving as we go along. Everything is evolving every day. If you look down the bottom of the app, you'll see the little notation of what generation it is, and prior to ourself on updating that daily, not monthly, quarterly, like some apps do, because it is complex. It does take in, you know, certain things like the amount of traffic that's on the road, the weather conditions that are in the area. Well, so it really kind of takes all that, syncs it up, and comes up with the best possible route in the least amount of time. Drivers, so that they're getting their job done quickly, and that's also to satisfy the customer.
So when you were putting this together, was this whiteboard, a lot of sitting in the room with a whiteboard?
I would say a lot more scratching our heads.
Uh-huh.
A little hair in the process.
Yeah.
But a lot of gray hairs too. I think that, it's like anything else. It's trial and error.
Mm-hmm.
What works really well for you doesn't necessarily matches up with the consumer though. And you really got to put your, two jackets on and say, okay, I'm a consumer. What about this? And then, what the app can do. Mm-hmm. Third component is, the driver. What are their capabilities and what are they able to do?
Mm-hmm.
Complex in the nature that you got three components that, you put everything in and then you try to make the jigsaw puzzle work.
Mm-hmm. First period of time was how do we do this? And what do we need to do to make it work? How did you pay for this? Was this outside financing? Was this friends and family or this credit cards?
No credit cards. Rule number one.
All right.
No friends and family. This time around, I did it all from our profits from our main company and decided that it was the best effort. I know a lot of people go out and fundraise and they set all kinds of different vehicles up to raise financing. I thought it was best to do it in-house.
Mm-hmm.
It is to serve a purpose, and that's to sell more of our retail product.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't want to get involved in that because the complexity of it, taking people's money and then having to explain it, there wasn't enough time in the day.
Right, right. Good. So, when did you have your first, Rev A or Alpha or Beta test? When was that? How long did it take you to get to that place?
We were a little premature, but we started in Oahu, Hawaii.
Mm.
It's an island, so everything, has to work there, off the side of the cliff. We did it within 6 months and we found a lot of problems and that opened our eyes a lot. We had some tech teams working on it and, as time goes along, you replace people and bring in someone that has a little bit more knowledge and we built our own in-house team. It has about 14 people that are fully staffed 7 days a week, around the clock. Things have gotten a lot smoother now, but they were very bumpy in the beginning.
Was that fun?
How can I explain this? Coming from blue collar, you learn to work with your hands and build things, and you can see things, on a daily basis. And this is a little bit more non-tangible. It's a different type of building. It is creative. It's a lot of thought process behind it. It can be complexing and grinding, but it's fun. I don't really how to explain it outside of that. It's nothing you can kind of feel in touch except it's on your phone, so it's there, but it's not something you can go grab, but you do see the result of it from point A to B and express themselves through giving reviews, and we've had a lot of good reviews. People are, I think, a little amazed that it's out there, and that we get the I thought of that a long time ago. I should have done it,
right. Now, so how large are you now? I mean, what areas do you service other than Oahu?
Right now, we're in 16 states operating. The goal is by the first quarter in 2021, we will be horseshoed all around the coast of the United States. So if you go from Maine all the way up down to Florida and around the Panhandle and through Texas, up through California and up to Oregon. So currently right now, we're not in Oregon or Washington. We are closing in California currently right now, down in LA around the 405, which I've drove many times.
Uh-huh.
You remember it?
Yeah, absolutely.
But most people don't realize that traffic is like that throughout the United States. Some are worse than others. Having traveled many different highways throughout the United States on other business, I understood the complexity of it, which really came into play time is money, and when you see a lot of traffic and you're sitting in it, you can be on the phone or you can sit there and wait to get to the next job, which most blue collar is doing. Mm-hmm. But getting back to you, we are also in the Midwest, so I think that you know, by the second quarter, we'll be in all 50 states, and it will mushroom out from the larger cities to, you know, the smaller cities to the rural areas. We are promoting 100% United States right now in our messaging, because it takes a while for people to understand it and get a hold of it. And the system is built that we can turn on any marketplace within a 2-week period. That's from getting quite complex, and we're rolling as fast as we can.
So your business plan requires a large number of drivers, right?
Very much so, yes.
So what constitutes a qualified driver for you?
We go back to qualifying drivers like this. If I were a homeowner, I wouldn't want just anybody showing up at my house. So we make sure that the person's qualified, that they have a licensed, registered vehicle that can operate on the road, that they have the proper insurances, that they don't have any things that you wouldn't want someone to come to the house. We'll just leave it at that. You know, we verify who the person is through a series of data points to make sure that we're not putting anybody in harm's way. Safety is always first on a job site. It carries right through to the drivers, right to the homeowner. We have seen an increase in applications, which is exciting, but also disappointing. It shows that, there are a large segment of the population that's out of work. We do not discriminate one bit. We have drivers of all the ethnic backgrounds, male, female, and we treat everybody equally. It is unfortunate that we're in such a state of affairs where there's a lot of people out of work. But those people that are working are making good money for the time that they put into the work. It's not 7 days a week. It's not multiple jobs a day. It's really designed to filter in where they are at that given time on the road, based upon their phone, which we can then push the jobs out to those drivers to accept the job or not. There is a timing issue in there where they get so much time, and if not, it goes to the next person. So we have a lot of drivers.
What kind of vehicle do people have to have?
When we first start, we were just thinking of pickup trucks. It really goes down to the size of the package. If it's an envelope, it could be a courier. Obviously, people aren't going to pay $90 to get that envelope there. They want to get something that's, you know, between $9.95 and, you know, $25. It really depends on the distance. We see some that need documents, like real estate documents, right away, pay a little bit more because it's expedited, and we can get them there within 2 hours. It could be something as large as a refrigerator. We've had orders come in from big box retailers where a refrigerator comes in at 9 o'clock at night. The refrigerator is picked up at 8 o'clock and delivered by 9:20. Really depends. So the size of the item dictates the size of the vehicle. Mm-hmm. Hauling works for anywhere from walking distance, where someone can carry something that's lightweight, all the way to a pickup truck with a trailer, which mm-hmm. in the West, everybody has a trailer. In the East, parking's an issue. People don't have trailers.
Yeah.
Those from box truck, trailer truck, and those are really designed for heavy items that you need a lift, or pallet size items. Trucks can obviously carry a pallet. It really has to do with the weight, and it has mm-hmm. to do with federal and local laws, obviously, that you have to have certain licenses to operate certain vehicles.
So where are you in California with the, you know, this question about whether employees or 1099s.
Right, and that's something where we watch the law and we make sure that we're compliant with the law. Right now, it's someone has to make at least $15 an hour. I would say all our drivers, the jobs are within an hour's time, sometimes maybe two, but they're making well over $15 an hour. We believe if you roll up your sleeves and you're doing labor work, not like a driver driving, just opening the door and someone getting in, you should be making $30 or more an hour. I think that the consumer who's purchasing the service understands that, you know, time is money and someone's got to make a fair wage. Mm-hmm. Calculated out on, you know, the time, and in that is equation is, you know, they're getting so much for mileage for the use of the vehicle. We're calculating out the gasoline that it takes or the fuel it takes to move that car, and we're calculating in the amount of time that someone should make for labor. The mileage, and you remove the gas that it takes to go there, they're still making a livable wage, more than livable wage, and even when you back out the taxes in our equation, they're still making more than $15 an hour.
What would be, you know, how could you talk about what an annual compensation might be for somebody who was, well, you tell me, are there people who are doing this full time?
You know, gig economy, this is something to earn a little bit more money. It's for anybody that's 18 years of age that is, you know, a registered driver per state. You know, it's just like the philosophy where, and you go to work at a fast food restaurant. Most of them were college and high school kids. And we've seen the economy change where some people have that a full-time employment. There's nothing wrong with it. This is a gig economy where it's something where you may work 3 or 4 jobs a week. You're making $200 or $300 or anywhere from, you know, 70 on, depending on, you know, what the skill set is needed for doing the job. Mm-hmm. I don't foresee this being a full-time gig. This is about supply and demand. As COVID goes away, I think demand will still be there, but there's a lot of drivers out there, and we try to share it with everybody, you know, narrow it down to a few people. It's a broken system in that effort. So we want everybody to have a shot.
It does seem to me that what we've learned about the gig economy in COVID has helped us to see possibilities where before we didn't even imagine it.
Yeah, COVID's been a real lifetime experience. I've never had a pandemic. I've seen recessions come. You know, you learn, you know, when skies are blue, right? Put your money away and mm-hmm. the best that you're prepared. And I think that, you know, not getting into the economy of politics, you know, wages have eroded and cost of living has gone up. And coming from that background, I understand it very well. So if you can pick up a few hours a week doing a couple jobs and you can make your extra $40 or $100, that sometimes is what you need to get to the next week. Mm-hmm. It's really designed if you hustle. And you know, two people can do a job. Or a burger, you get another guy that's going to start it, and he's going to finish it right there and that. Those are the people we want. Someone that's in there, minimize their time, get the job done correctly. The customer likes it, and then the customer usually tips. We don't keep any of the tips. It's passed through. Goes right to the driver.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also from the consumer side, there are a lot of possibilities that weren't there before.
You know, think of Uber and Lyft. I mean, there's qualifications of the vehicle you drive, and it's got to be up to a standard. You know, my perspective is if you want to work and you have a 67 Chevy and it's legal on the road, it may not paint and it may not look good, it might have a dent in it. That's not what it's about. It's about providing the service at a reasonable cost to the consumer and also a fair wage to the driver. So it's not your typical app. It's much more robust. Mm-hmm. To take care of a problem. And where COVID is, you know, you don't come into contact with a lot of people. You're driving in the vehicle by yourself. We don't allow passengers in the vehicle. You're there to do a specific job, and that's what we're hiring you for. Everybody's a subcontractor. Anybody that is in business knows that there's a benefit if you set up a little LLC and you drive and you have your insurance and you can write those things off. And I think that's where Uber and Lyft failed a large part of the society. If they taught them or explained that to them a little bit, that they can get those benefits that businesses get so they take more money home and mm-hmm. be in a better spot today.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, now, what are some stories about unique experiences that consumers have had? What have they used Hauletail for? Some extraordinary uses of it.
Extraordinary uses. Let's see. What have I seen that's come through extraordinary? I think it's everyday life things that we see mostly. Extraordinary things that it kind of outside my scope that I didn't think before is delivering bales of hay. You know, you don't think of it in context that everyday life when you don't have a farm. A lot of people that have animals out here in Phoenix that, you know, need to get their hay to the animals and feed, and we do that. I think that one of the others is that we had a pre-packaged delivery, and it's not food. It was a gift pack, and they bought it from a location that was further away than the closer one, and they paid the $40 to have it delivered. And it was really carrying a package, but it was food, but a prepackaged food. And it was from someone that did it in Brooklyn to someone that did it in Phoenix. And what caught my eye, it was one, and I put it in, was on Scottsdale Drive. And Scottsdale is part of Phoenix, so it was kind of like when I was looking, reviewing everything, I was like, this doesn't make any sense. But it was Scottsdale on Cape Road on Cape Cod, Mass. So I thought it was a fluke in the system, delivering to another part of Phoenix.
Well, all right. So let me imagine something. If I wanted to make 10 apple pies and deliver them to each of my clients here in Orange County, California, is that something that Halltail could do?
Repeat that again, just so I make sure.
If I wanted to make 10 apple pies and I wanted them delivered to my clients, is that something that Halltail could do?
Sure. I don't know if we get them all there warm, if they're out of the oven, but we would get them all there. Interesting enough, we work with a company called Baggerly. They make bagels. Saturdays, they deliver their bagels with lox and onions, and then the local newspaper, the Philly Examiner. We have about four or five drivers that will go in. He'll give us all his orders on Thursday. We upload it, and it will work in the algorithms. Okay, you've got so many orders west, you get so many orders east. How do we get all these orders out before, within 2 hours or an hour and a half? And we'll run the system. It will take in the effect of the weather and then move maybe one ride over to another driver that has, you know, more deliveries than the other, but it's all the time sequence. And we do that, and we've been on spot within a minute of our estimated times. Slows it down is if something unforeseen happens, where we have had one person's vehicle get a flat tire. But the system is designed to compensate to have another driver meet him, go pick those up, just like FedEx or UPS, get the package and be on its way. So yes, it can be done. And it is done every day.
How is this different from like a normal logistics company? Got a fleet of big trucks, not talking about UPS or FedEx, but local moving companies, local haul companies. How is it different?
Well, usually there's a process. You have to go and get a bid. You know, you tell them what you're moving and everything. What the app does is you put everything in there. You put it in by photograph, and we estimate it, and we use the optics of our system to kind of say, okay, it's this amount of space, or this is debris, and we know that it's C&D waste versus household versus green and versus clean fill. And it breaks all those down and sends it to the right disposal area. And we have all the pricing in the system to cover that, 15,000 locations throughout the United States, all the pricing down in the matrix. So we don't mark any of the cost of getting rid of the waste. We look for the right waste system for it to go, to dispose of it properly. So everything that goes into the system and comes in, we're able to come up with the price within 10 minutes time, send that back to the consumer, and then they have the option to take it or schedule it. And then once they do, they pay it, and then we make it happen.
So this is a bid that essentially this is a bid to do it in the time frame that the customer wants.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't got any orders in to date that we haven't been able to move from point A to B. Whatever the item is, we always seem to figure it out. I think we go back to the creative time when I'm scratching my head, how do we move this and how do we move that? So we do see trends where people are moving boxes from their home to storage, or people moving boxes that that they have packed up and they don't want to drive a U-Haul trailer. It may be a young female that doesn't have the capability to move her couch. You know, there's a guy around the corner, or even a girl around the corner that has a pickup truck that can help her move those things. We usually move the items so they're not doing any of the labor. The job's to who can do it, and that's usually done by a information sheet that we ask the drivers what the capabilities are, and then weigh those against the orders that come in, and it selects, you know, who's available at that given time, who has the app on. We also have a pretty robust command and control where everything's being looked at to make sure that the job is being fulfilled. And we also track the job. So the consumer who is receiving the item can watch the order being delivered to them as well, just like a rideshare platform.
So do you have one central command place, or is it decentralized around the country?
It's decentralized, and it's around the world, because the world never stops. So we have let her up when it's daylight somewhere else, and nighttime falls, they're, you know, it's scheduled appropriately. It's all through the U.S. You know, we built this and patented this worldwide, so it's not just a one-off. It takes in different languages and different currencies, and we've experimented with that in some other foreign lands, which I don't want to really get into right now, but it's there as well as here.
Good. Let's see if we can stimulate some imagination on the part of a consumer. What would be some things that maybe they haven't thought about? You talked about a female, you know, who's probably not equipped with a pickup truck and doesn't want to lift up things and put it in. What other things could we encourage people to consider using Hauletail for?
Well, I've seen one where they've someone's been on a bike trip and had to leave, and they needed their bike picked up and brought to somewhere. Mm-hmm. Some retirement communities where they have items that need to be brought into their location where they are at, where they can't go pick them up. Mm-hmm. Seen TV from Best Buy that need to be delivered as a gift.
Uh-huh.
We've seen the prepackaged food, which was a gift, like, you know, steaks or something being delivered. We've seen customers send in bids where they get a pile of gravel that was left over from when they built their patio and they need it gone. Sell the demo bag and Hauletail brand contracted bags, which is patented technology. And we say, go buy a box and use it on the job and apply the cost of that box off the service. So they get a bonus that way. Well, we know the bags are going to stay together.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen a job where a dumpster, a 40-foot dumpster, got stuck in the mud. And they couldn't get it out, had to take all the bags out. And they took the dumpster away, and the customer was saying, hey, how do I get rid of my bags now? Because the dumpster won't come back.
Uh-huh.
We've seen the same with the bagster, where someone will take the bag, and the thought is we'll have it picked up, but they put it in the backyard. And then it's like, okay, we don't want to take this and move it out. My husband doesn't have the time.
Mm-hmm.
With this, so we take care of instances like that.
And apparently you can do this in you could take care of the job in a fairly short period of time.
Yeah, so the expedited is with under 2 hours, and we give you the price and accept it. We'll get someone there to do it. If for some reason it can't be done, we usually call the customer and just say, look, because there's a snowstorm or there's a hurricane coming, it's just not going to happen. I mean, we have seen instances where people are trying to move things from the seacoast when there's been weather coming in, and everybody and the brothers tied up and have their own trucks. Well, usually, you know, there's restrictions on roads at that point where we can't get in either.
Mm-hmm.
We've taken that into account as well. And we see a bump in that with all the storms we've had in the past year down the Gulf Coast in Texas. The other application of it is that we'll be coming to snow plowing. So if someone's elderly and they can't shovel any longer, that will be coming out relatively soon. We've upped the guys that have the snow plows and looking to increase their business. That algorithm in it as well. There are others out there doing it, but it's just an extension of the brand as well.
All right. Now, I heard a little turn in the R. You were a blue-collar worker, grew up where?
Originally from Boston. So
Boston, I knew that R. There we are. I love Boston. My son is manager of the CVS store in Porter Square.
Right.
And I went to seminary in Cambridge. And we lived in Massachusetts for 12 years and taught in a prep school in Western Massachusetts. So love New England. That is our favorite place to play. So, all right. So now what I heard was our daughter lives in Albany. And what I heard was before I couldn't even imagine how I could say, don't worry about that. I will get your snow plowed because I would know nobody in Albany to do that. But it sounds to me like I do know somebody now in Albany, or when you're ready to roll it out, I will have somebody that I could, with the app, say, go clear out her snow in her driveway. Is that right?
Getting the process now this year, testing it out. There's been some issues in that industry with insurance, so we're working with an insurance company so those people can have the proper insurance. That's been one of the unknown things in that industry. Snow truck drivers have to buy a whole year of insurance, and it may not even snow. So it's not even economical for them to get into.
Uh-huh.
So where the job comes in and they're able to buy that insurance for that particular job only, obviously it's cost, but then the homeowner knows they're protected and the plow driver knows they're protected.
Right, right.
So you hope to get it all launched this year, and if not, it will be there next year.
And what I'm beginning to see now is that what this allows is for me to haul, to move things nationwide. I could use that to move something from Boston to Albany.
Yeah, so we're working with those would be more interstate, and we're working with trucking companies. It's just professional, where it's those people that have their credentials and have their permits in place to cross state lines and so forth. And that's important, too, because a lot of times, you know, trucking companies will have all their deliveries being made to the west, and they right. have order that has to go to the east, and it's not efficient. So we're able to be their backup and connect those other trucks that are, you know, equivalent size to help them. And we don't market up that much, so it's not like being a typical broker where we're saying, you know, we're going to take all this extra money on top, which everybody's gotten rich out of. And I don't think that's fair. That's kind of like, you know, taking advantage of someone. So we just make it so it's a nominal fee.
So in effect, you're simplifying the whole process, and I'm able to delegate that need that I have to somebody else that I could trust. Right? I'm able to predict pretty precisely when something is going to happen. Is that right?
True. I mean, you know, we live in a technology era. Technology is getting better, and this is a service so that you know you can get things delivered to your home safely in same condition. And it has other aspects. I mean, you will see us go into large dump trucks and backhoes and generations of that as well being planned now, and the testing's ourselves. So we test everything ourselves, make sure it works before we roll it out.
Yeah. Well, what other, how do you see this progressing over the next 3 to 5 years?
It's growing pretty fast. So it really depends on what curveball comes at us and where, you know, we have to put time into it to develop it, but the core of it has been developed and it's point A to B, and it could be planned by C. So just like we've seen orders come in from the East Coast for someone wanting to do someone on the West, helping someone on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
It's the communication of the phone or the computer or the iPad, and people can plan out, or they can be somewhere else and have someone else accept it for them on their behalf, because we'll have that information that they supply. So it's really a tool when you think of it. It's the next generation.
I have heard of people moving from Boston to Phoenix to retire, but it doesn't sound to me like that's your plan.
No, I get tired of shoveling snow in the cold weather.
That's right. Every once in a while, my wife will say, you know, this living in Laguna Beach is nice. Seeing the ocean is good. But, you know, it's really nice to think about New England. And I ask her to remember between October and June. and she comes back to her senses.
Places to live in the United States, and I knew that I just wanted to get out of Boston. I was just, I've done everything there, seen everything, and I've traveled the world, and I've been fortunate in that way. But obviously, being able to go to all these other countries, we have a great country here. It always has been and always will be. All the culture and the vibrance and the system that we have, which is capitalism, which provides and stimulates people to make a living and do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at California, and I looked at San Diego, Santa Monica, Sausalito, all different places to live, but I just couldn't get over the traffic. It drove me crazy.
Yes, there you go. Very good. Well, what would you like to tell folks? If you had had a megaphone and you could shout at all of them, what would you tell them?
Next time you're planning to do some hard labor and you don't want to do it, just download the app and take it for a test drive. You know, you're going to spend the same amount of money that you would be doing it yourself, but it's going to be convenient. And that person that needs the work, and there's a lot of people out of work, will have the opportunity to make a few dollars. And that's good for society.
So how do they get the app? Where is it?
The app is on Google and it's on Apple. So you just press it in halltale.com, upload the app. It takes no time at all. It asks for information. The information is all stored in our own computer systems. It's not on Amazon or any place else. It's very secured. We take that very seriously. We don't hold any credit card information. We do have our drivers, they're able to get a debit card, so we pay them, and I should mention that. So it's all electronic, and they're able to get their money when they finish the job. We don't take any fee out of it at the end of the week when they're scheduled to be paid. But if they need the money before, we can go in and mitigate that for them so that they can buy the gallon of milk or buy their replacement tire or whatever they need that week.
Sounds like you're really taking care of your drivers well.
You know, if you don't take care of the workers, you can't get the job done, right?
That sounds like someone with a true heritage from blue collar. Bruce, it's been wonderful getting to know you and wonderful hearing this wonderful thing that you're doing. So stick around a little bit afterward while we just finish here. But I would encourage people to take a look at Halltail, the app that's going to save you time and money and get your stuff moved.
Thank you.
So this has been just another example of how businesses thrive, even in the midst of all sorts of constraints, creativity, imagination, hard work, and making it happen.
You've been listening to The Pilgrim on the 405 with Will Crist. To hear more of the programs in this podcast, go to www.willcrist.com.